all power and all glory will be his. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you would, please. Last Sunday, I introduced a series of messages, and I pray the Lord will be pleased to take us through it. It was initiated by a statement to me on what is called expository preaching, the expounding of Scripture on a verse-by-verse basis. I pointed out that our Lord preached an expository message when he walked with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We read in Luke 24:27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he," speaking of the Lord, "expounded unto them in all the scriptures," what? All the good ways that they were supposed to walk? All the good things that they were supposed to do? No. No. That's not what our Lord did at all. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Christ preached Christ, plain and simple. He preached about himself. I took the time to bring out in the message of salvation. And that message of salvation is always Christ in him crucified. There are many things that we're going to see going through this book of Timothy and the 2 Timothy book. Our Lord is going to talk to each and every one of us, giving us his instructions on how to live through his word. And he's going to lead you in that way. You don't walk in the way the Lord wants you to walk, guess what's going to happen? If he loves you, he will chasten you. And he will lead you to walk in that way. That's exactly what he did to Jonah. He allowed Jonah to run. And Jonah did. And then Jonah was swallowed up by, well, first he was not attacked, but verbally, you know, like, what have you done? What have you done to make the Lord mad at us that he would bring up this storm against us out here on the sea? So the men that he was with turned against him. And when he realized there was no out from that, okay, you know, look, I understand. It just throw me overboard. And the Lord prepared a fish for him. Now some may say, well, that was a picture of this or a picture of that, but that was chastening no matter which way you look at it. Yeah. If you could put yourself in that very position, would you not be afraid? Would you not be learning that, oh, what I did was wrong? Our God rules everything, folks. Yeah. That's all there is to it. It's as simple as that. He will guide us in the way we should walk. And sometimes he's going to allow us to go the other direction, to fall into a hole, maybe. That he can reach into that hole like he did with Peter when Peter began to sink. Peter took his eyes off of Christ for 1 minute and began to sink. And our Lord reached down lovingly. He grabs a hold of his arm and pulls him up. And pulls him to him. Today, Paul gives clarification of this very point that I said. As it is in all Scripture, the message of salvation is always Christ and him crucified. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 of chapter 1 in 1 Timothy. "As I besought thee," Paul says to Timothy, "to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." This will be our subject for today's message. No other doctrine. Now if you would turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, please. Yesterday I had the honor of attending services for a young lady I had the honor of going to those services for a young woman who had passed on before her mother. I had the honor of going to these services to support my sister in Christ. A sister that I have a great love for because God has given me that great love. Just as He has given each and every one of us love for each other. What do we have that God hasn't given us? How can I call you brother and sister in Christ if it hasn't been for my Lord giving it to me, giving you to me as a brother and sister? I had a great honor to be there, and I was asked what I thought of the message that was given. It was a good message. It was a good message of what death is. He did a really good job of bringing out what death is. Death is the result of sin. He brought out how none of us can run from it. It affects everyone who comes into this world. You can't run from it. It will catch you. And sometimes those around us, when they pass on, we have to go through that sorrow, that deep sorrow of loss. It was a good message about death. It was a good message on what the curse is. The curse is sin. It's a result of sin, and how death is something that we must all live with and come, and it will come to all. It was a good message about hope. The hope that people of God have, the hope of everlasting life because of what our Lord and Savior did. He did an excellent job of bringing out what Christ had done on the cross. How God was made flesh. How God walked as a man upon this earth and went to the cross because of the love He has for His people. And because of what God has done, the people of God have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and only in what He has done. Points that were made were sin has separated man from God. The deity of Christ, the power of Christ, the love of Christ, the cross, giving of Himself. But I had a problem with the whole message, for it was not presented with the power of God. And I told her this. It was presented as an offer. He gave all those information about who Christ is. He gave all the information of what Christ had done. He gave all the information of what the result of sin is. But what Christ had done was nothing more than an offer to people. There was no fact about what he preached. Pastor Gene has always taught me it's not what a man says necessarily, it's what he doesn't say. There was not one mention of the power of God through election. And because of that, the people who have heard that message could have walked away with saying, oh, okay, so all I got to do is accept what the God that he talked about has done, and I'll be saved. And that's not the case. That is not the case at all. That's what the world says out there. He said that Christ desires you to know Him. At another point, He said the Lord wants. Not once did He come out and say that you must... He didn't come out and say that you must make a decision. And He never came out and said that you won't let Him. He didn't say those words. I've given that. Are you with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 11? Look at verses 3 and 4. Paul says, he says, "But I fear lest by any means that the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety." This is what was going on yesterday. A man was standing before people declaring the gospel in a subtle way. He was not clear about the fact that God chose a people before the world began. He was painting a picture of a God who has done all that He can, and now He's waiting for you to accept it. It was presented as an offer that you must accept or reject. Dead people can't do anything. And that's what we are when we come into this world, dead. Just as Lazarus was dead. He even brought up Lazarus. But He didn't point out that Lazarus couldn't make a decision. He didn't point out that Lazarus came to Christ by the power of God Himself speaking to him. So your mind should be corrupted, continuing verse 3, from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. He said nothing yesterday about God's electing love. You see, the presenting of truths of God as an offer leaves one to think God has done what He will, now it's up to you to make it effectual by receiving His offer. Or in other words, by making a decision to turn from your old ways and to follow Him. This is diminishing everything about the true and living God. To say that the Lord Jesus Christ wants or desires something that He cannot have is to say that He is not God, that He has no power. The blood that was shed on the cross was worthless. This is what the world uses as a basis for universal love. God loves all people, but man will not let Him. That presentation that I heard yesterday took the power of God and it gave it over to men. And this is not the gospel of Christ the Lord. Have you got one of today's articles? Allow me a great honor to read an article that is written by our brother Mike Lovelace. When light is black. Mike writes, "What if everything you were ever told about the Lord Jesus Christ was wrong? What if the only hope that you ever had, that you ever believed in, that you ever counted on, turned out to be a lie and false? How great would be your loss?" In Matthew 6, 22 and 23, read, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" How great would be your loss? He goes on to write, "The light from God, all light from God is truth. But much of the so-called light masquerades for truth in our day. And believe of that false light runs rampant in our world. Trusting in a false light is no light whatsoever. There is no darkness blacker than a false hope. We live in a time of great deception, grand delusion. A time when most of the so-called Christian world runs headlong into hell, singing hymns and worshiping side by side in the halls of great swelling numbers. This is that time, and this is our world today. In Revelation 13:3 or 2 Thessalonians 3:3, and all the world wondered after the beast. Make your calling and election sure. Unless a person is born again, the eye which he attempts to view such matters of faith is evil. He can't possibly perceive the kingdom of God through a wicked eye. His single source of light is darkness, yet he walks in that darkness thinking himself safe, thinking his path is right. That's exactly what Paul did, folks, until the Lord came and blinded him with the truth. So then what? Read the Word prayerfully, carefully, and often. Take God at His Word. Cry out for His mercy, for the only hope any of us have is that God would have mercy upon us and give us life. We must be born again. Make your calling and election sure. If man is glorified in any way whatsoever, then your hope is false hope. That's what making the gospel an offer does. It takes the glory from the Lord Jesus Christ, who has done it all, who is Lord of all. And it puts that glory in man's hands. This is the true doctrine, the true teaching. Jesus Christ shall save His people. His desires are satisfied. His wants are met. Therefore, He wants nothing. As God, He rules over everything. He rules over everything. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Does what you're saying glorify the act of men, or does it give God all the glory? For salvation is of the Lord, plain and simple. That gives all glory to Him. And folks, it's just that simple. The doctrine, the teachings, they are all about the Savior. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 1. The true doctrine of Scripture presents the true and living God, Jesus Christ our Lord, and it presents Him as a stumbling block to the world. Foolishness to some, stumbling block to others. The natural man is brought up to believe that his destiny is his own. If you'll just do good, you will accomplish this. If you'll just do that, you will accomplish this. If you do this, you're going to have to pay for it that way. That's the way we're brought up. How else can we think of it? The people cried out, did they not? What must we do to be saved? They cried out because that's their nature. What must we do? This offer that was being made, that, okay, we must do, we've got to accept it. I'm so thankful the Lord didn't leave it to me to decide. I'm so thankful the Lord didn't offer His salvation to me. I rejected His salvation for all the years that I walked this earth until He called me to this pulpit, to that seat one day. And He didn't offer His salvation to me. He gave it to me. He took that old heart that would said, this man shall not rule over me, and He cut it out and He took it away. just as He does every one of His people. We will not come to the Lord unless the Father draws us. This Jesus of Scripture that we read about, this one who rules over everything, including the wills of men, including the hearts of men. Scripture says that He's a stumbling block to the people, a stumbling block to the religious, and foolishness to the pagan. In 1 Peter 2, verses 6 through 10, it says, "Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe that He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and the stone of a stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient." Why do people ignore this? It's because they just don't want to believe. They can't believe. They can't see the light because the light has not shined in their heart. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. Are you with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Look at verse 17. "For Christ sent me not to baptize." Baptism is not what will save you. I'll baptize you if you come to me and tell me that the Lord has saved you and that you belong to Him and that He belongs to you and that He has moved into your heart and given you the light and that you have put your faith in Him. I can't see your heart. I can't turn away somebody who would ask to be baptized. Well, actually I did turn somebody away, but that was because I didn't know who they were. And all they wanted to do was come and be baptized. And I told them we stick to membership only. So I turned them away for that. But if anybody comes to me and tells me that their faith is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, I'll baptize you, but that's not going to save you. You want to come to the Lord's table, that's great. You can come to the Lord's table. We don't have a closed table to anybody. But that's not going to save you. Just as I pointed out last week in our introduction to this series of messages, godly living has never saved anyone. Christ saved His people. And that's the message. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" What do you mean I'm not alive? I'm alive. I can make a decision. I can walk the path that I think is right. I know better than that. Where is the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Why? Why would God go to all that trouble? Why would He go about putting all those things in front of man? Look, folks, our Lord won't share His glory with another. All glory belongs to Him. God's people know that everything we have are from Him. How can we boast in anything that we have? And this goes for our faith. How can we boast in the faith that God gave us to come to Him? Because that's what men do. Oh, I'm strong in the faith. I go to church every Sunday. Oh, I'm strong in the faith. I go down every Saturday and help the poor. Oh, I'm this and oh, I'm that. But God's people know that we're not. He is. He is all. And all glory goes to Him. Everything about me, the glory goes to Him. For I am what my Lord has made me. That no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him. Who? But of who? Christ. Of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. You see the difference there, folks? You can present the gospel in two different ways. You can present it as God Almighty, the ruler of all things, or you can present it as a little Jesus who's done something and waiting for you to make that decision, to turn from your ways, to walk differently than you have been all your life. Or you can talk about the God who will turn you because He has loved you. That's the gospel. Because He has loved John Reeves, He turned me one day through a very challenging way and brought me to hear His word. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom. I don't come to you today with words of wisdom through me, but words of wisdom from my Lord. And righteousness of my Lord. John Reeves has none, but my Lord has all righteousness, and it belongs to His children who He imputed it to. His children that He loved so much, He gave His only begotten Son for. His children that He loved so much that He would not let them go to hell, but that He will have them. Who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. We are set apart. We are made holy by our Savior and by Him alone. Right now. I don't care what you see in the mirror when you go home. I don't care about the sin that you may see within you. If you belong to Christ, God looks upon you as white as His Son, dressed in His righteousness, in the robes of Jesus Christ our Lord, right now. who of God has made unto us redemption. We are redeemed by his blood. Perfectly. Holy. There's nothing left to do. Rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when our God has given us that rest, the rest that rests in what he has done, that according as it is written in verse 31, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
This is how you know if a preacher is speaking true doctrine. It points men to the amazing grace of God that he has for his people. It points to the grace of God becoming flesh. It points to the grace of God providing himself a sacrifice. It points to the grace of God taking the sins of his chosen people upon himself. And it points to the grace of God raising himself from the grave, putting away those very sins and leaving them to be seen no more. It points to the grace of God keeping his own even now, even while we continue in the flesh, keeping us for his son's sake. Till one day we be in his presence for everlasting eternity. Folks, this is the doctrine, the teaching that God has ordained to save his people. Look at verses 1 through 5 of chapter 2. And brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. This is what I've done just now. I've given you a demonstration of what God's Spirit and power can do and what it will do for his people. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Allow me to express something about the power of God before I close. Man once walked this earth. Satisfying the lusts of the flesh, doing whatever it took to get what he wanted. If he wanted something and it belonged to another, he would take it. And a day came when this man was caught by the authorities, taking something that doesn't belong to you. In that day, the consequences is death. So the day came when this man was to be executed. And even that very day, this man got up and lived according to the flesh. He and another were taken, along with a third, and they were hung on a cross. And these two men railed on the third, even after they had been nailed to that cross. After the third was nailed. I don't know if the other two were. I think they were just tied. Either way, It was the end of their life had come. All through this man's life, he walked according to the world, never once showing any signs of being a child of God. At that very moment, our Lord gave that man a heart to believe. The same thing that he's done for each and every one of you and I. And the power of God moved upon that man in the last moments of his life. And he turned to the Lord after railing on him. He said, "Remember me." And the Lord so graciously fulfilled his word where he says, "All who come to me I shall in no wise cast out." And said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That's the power of God. Our Lord didn't wait for that man to turn. He turned him right there. He grabbed a hold of him and he said, "I have loved you from before the world was. You're mine. And you will be with me in paradise." Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Will you stand with me?